No, I'm thinking, would we be able to start class at 9:45? Or is that gonna really throw people off? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, that'll give me more time to write on the board, because right now I'm late, like 10 minutes late, and I can't get here any sooner. Okay, so 9:45. I'll do it later. Okay. Here we go. John Paul, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph?
Yes, Father Francis.
Peter?
Yes, Father Francis.
Madeline? Here you are. Joshua?
Yes, Father Francis.
Teresa?
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph?
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph?
Yes, Father Francis.
Oh. Mary Ann?
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire?
Yes,
Christopher?
Yes, Father.
Adriel?
Not here.
She's not here?
She is not here, but not
here. Noah?
Yes, Father.
Josie?
Yes,
Diego?
Yes, Father.
Liliana?
Yes, Father Francis.
Oh, and last week for you too.
Okay. For both of you? All right, we got all of you here. Have you been doing the homework for every class?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicholas.
Yes, Father Francis.
Andrew.
Yes, Father Francis.
Luke.
Yes, Father Francis.
Sophia.
Yes.
Abigail.
Yes, Father Francis.
Ada.
Yes, Father.
Eleanor.
Yes, Father Francis.
Paul.
Yes, Father Francis.
Mara.
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph.
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire Ann.
Yes, Father Francis.
Michael.
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay. I have you down for 2 homework assignments. Okay. Anybody else? Anyone who didn't get called?
Thank you. Good.
I got all of you. All right. Announcements. Whose feast day is it today?
Yours.
That was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the feast of St. Francis. Had a wonderful day. Today's feast, anybody know? It's only new. It's just recently on the calendar.
Blessed Francis?
Blessed Francis Xavier. I think it's pronounced Zelos. From Germany. But he came out to the United States, like in Philadelphia and New Orleans. I think Xavier University is named after him. He went around different states preaching in English and German. He was a Redemptorist. Do you remember St. John Nepomucene Neumann from Bohemia? He was a Redemptorist. He was in charge of all the Redemptorists in the United States. Well, right under him was this Father Xavier, Francis Xavier Zelos. So they were friends. Yes? What? Okay.
Someone in this class, it's their birthday.
Okay.
So
it's always going to be someone's birthday in this class. But who else, we don't celebrate her feast day here in the United States, But in Poland, we celebrate her. In Poland, her feast day is celebrated. There may be some other places too. Who would that be? She was canonized in 2000. Yes. Helena Kowalski or Kowalski. Yeah, she became a religious Our Lady of Mercy sisters, and she had revelations early on as a sister about divine mercy, God's mercy. And that led to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Feast of Divine Mercy, her diary, and she is called in Pope Francis's document for the Jubilee year, he calls her the Apostle of Divine Mercy. Okay, so she's not on the universal calendar. She's definitely in the martyrology. And her feast day is celebrated at least in Poland, maybe in other places too. Okay. What else? Today is week 5. Weeks 6 through 10, we'll be looking at the definition of mercy. Hopefully you have been reviewing it. I want you to know the definition of mercy for your exam. It'd be good to practice it every week, a little bit anyways. We're going to go through the different parts of that definition, one part each week, starting next week. Okay, so next week it'll be on love, all right? And then the week after that, you know, bending down. So we're going to go through that definition step by step. Okay, see it in its parts. Right now you know the whole, but in a foggy way. We got to get to know the parts before we can really know the whole. Okay, so this is we're coming to the heart of this semester to really know this definition. These past weeks we've been going through the Bible. We started with the Old Testament. We had those Hebrew words that were translated into the Latin one word, misericordia. Okay, so that's one way of getting the definition of mercy. Going from those three different Hebrew words to one Latin word. And we took a look at St. Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of Mercy. We took a look at St. Paul. He knew the essence of mercy. He knew the definition, not so much that he wrote it out in one sentence, but he knew the different parts of it. And so when he's talking about mercy, he connects it with those different parts. We looked at that. Okay, so now we're going from Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, we're going to through 2,000 years of God's Word revealed throughout history. Okay? Tradition. That's today's class. And then I asked, just for today's class, extra credit for anyone who can contribute to these 2,000 years of history, what has been said about divine mercy, particularly if it has to do with the definition. I let St. Francis slide in there because I'm devoted to him. Yesterday was his feast day. But definitely St. Thomas Aquinas, definitely St. Augustine, because they hit the target on what mercy is. Same with St. Thomas More. Does anybody have any? Okay, let's start with John Paul.
I have two, St. John Paul II and St. Maria Goretti.
Okay, what do you have on Pope John Paul II?
Pope John Paul II canonized St. Faustina Kowalski.
Yes.
And declared to be say of divine mercy.
Uh-huh.
He also, during his pontificate, visited communist Poland, and when he got off the steps of his plane, he kissed the ground, which was a forward motion down to the people of Poland who were in misery. After that, he openly preached to the people and spoke to them with a message of peaceful resistance and holiness to lift them out of communist tyranny.
Okay, this is indirectly talking about mercy. Can you hit? Here is a contribution of Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II. There was a problem with the diary. It wasn't translated correctly, and so it was not made available for people to read. Well, he helped get that diary translated correctly, and then people could read it. So that was big. But go ahead. No, John Paul. Anything that directly hits on mercy about John Paul II.
His papal encyclical was called Divus in Misericordia, which means.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in class. We'll talk about that. Tell us something about St. Maria Goretti. I think I know what you're going to say, though.
There are three aspects of St. Maria Goretti. The first, everyone understands. The second, some people may not get. But the third, almost no one gets about her. She was, someone tried to rape her, and she fought him, and she succeeded in fighting him off, but she gave her life for it. Before she died, she forgave her.
Okay, we're going to put that under the second semester forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness is a spiritual work of mercy, but I want to keep that on the forgiveness side. And that's going to be second semester, okay? All right. Okay, let's move to Joseph.
Father Francis, I have three saints that could be an example of mercy.
Yes.
Saints Mother Teresa, John Vianney, and Saint Padre Pio.
Okay.
First off, with Saint Mother Teresa, I have a passage. Can I read it?
Yes.
He took great care of the dying. I am convinced that one moment is enough to ransom an entire miserable existence. Existence, perhaps, believed to be useless.
A little louder.
Take great care of the droop of the dying. I am convinced that even one moment is enough to ransom an entire miserable existence. Existence perhaps believed to be useless. All souls are precious to Jesus, who paid for them with his blood.
Okay. So what does that have to do with the definition of mercy?
She took poor people off the streets and gave them dying people off the streets that people just walked past and helped them.
So that would be misery. That's part of the definition of mercy, huh? Misery.
And she cared for them until they died.
Okay. To try to to help them out of their, she would be an example of living living what mercy is about, huh? Taking that definition and living it. Okay. Yeah, she's a good example of mercy. Okay, Joseph.
Father,
Maybe she gave them alms?
Yeah, food and medicine, clothes, shelter. Good? Good. Okay, you're going to keep going?
St. John Vianney and St. Padre Pio, both were great professionals. People all over the world would go for St. Padre and Pio to hear their confessions. And St. John Vianney wasn't far off.
Okay, good. Thank you. We'll stop there because I'm running out of time. Claire.
St. Thomas More, before he was going to be martyred,
yes?
He created a prayer. And in the prayer, he asks for mercy for himself and for the people who are going to martyr him.
Ooh.
And for his friends.
Good. Good. Okay, Peter.
Father, when I actually pray, I learned that about St. Faustina Kowalski. She was the apostle of divine mercy, and she cared for others around her. I also learned about St. Damien of Molokai.
Mm-hmm.
St. Damien of Molokai once went to Molokai, Hawaii, and he found the leper colony in misery. And there was no law, only chaos. And St. Damien of Molokai lifted them out of their misery and gave them dignity. He caught the leper disease and then died.
Okay. Okay, so several of you are giving, having a saint, a role model of living out what mercy is, okay? Good. Anybody else? I gave you extra credit for that, okay? There is four or five of you. Yes, Joseph.
St. Marcin of Tours.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you credit, barely. Like, I'll give you like half credit. There you go. Good, that's enough. No more. This class isn't so much about role models, but what they had to say about mercy. To help us to see this definition of mercy being expressed over the past 2,000 years, okay? It wasn't just one time period that you have this definition of mercy, but it's throughout 2,000 years, okay? So I'm gonna give some examples. I don't think I have a complete list by any stretch of the imagination, but these are some sources you can go to, all right? Let's stand and we're going to pray for the Pope's intentions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Pope Francis's intention for this month of October, that workers and the unemployed may receive respect and protection of their rights, and that they will get the opportunity to contribute to the common good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, put your hand down. Okay, here we go. I didn't have time to put down dates for these. If I had time in blue, I would put down the dates, but I'll give the dates to you as we go. Okay, we already talked about number one, St. Jerome. In about 420 AD, he translated the Bible into Latin. Okay? He translated the Old Testament from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, and then the New Testament in Greek into Latin. It's called the Vulgate. And I already showed you in the second week, I think, that those three Hebrew words, when he translated those words, there was only one Latin word, misericordia. Okay, so Hanan, Chesed, Racham, were all translated misericordia. That's one way of getting the definition of mercy, because those three words contain the definition of mercy. Okay, so that was 420. Right after that, in 430 AD, well, that's when he died, St. Augustine, he wrote several books and homilies, commentaries. Okay, but one of the most famous is The City of God. It's one book, but it's made up of books and chapters. Okay, so book 4, chapter 5, this is good. This is good. Here's what he says about mercy. Mercy is sympathy, or you could say compassion, huh? These days, psychologists make a distinction between compassion. Compassion means this, sympathy means that. Not etymologically, they're the same thing. Sympathy comes from the Greek, it means to suffer with, and compassion, that comes from the Latin, that means to suffer with, okay? So you can use either of those two words. Compassion or sympathy for another's misery, impelling us to help him if we can. So that has the word compassion in it, that has the word misery in it, and to lift the person out of the misery. So that's most of the definition. Okay, he had something else to say. You're going to have to write it down. I'll be going too fast for you to write it down. But this is something else he said about mercy. He's talking about himself, what's going on inside of himself. This inner warfare is agony. Okay, misery. Have mercy on me. He's talking to God, okay? See, I do not hide my wounds. You are the physician, I am sick. You are merciful, and I in need of mercy. On your exceedingly great mercy rests all my hope. Okay? This mercy is, he says it's exceedingly great, okay? It's immeasurable, incalculable. You can't put a number on it. You can't compare it to anything on earth. Okay, it's beyond our understanding. It's beyond what we can know. Okay, because God is mercy. We can't define God. We cannot verbalize God as he really is, okay? Only God can do that. We can't imagine God as God. We cannot express in any words God is God, and same with mercy. So he highlights the greatness of God's mercy. Okay, St. Bede. In 735 AD, In his 21st homily, one or two sources say his 22nd homily, there is this quote, "Miserando atque eligendo." Okay, if you had to write one thing about St. Bede, this is it. Miserando atque eligendo. What does that mean? Jesus looked upon St. Matthew with merciful love and called him. Okay, so this is an interpretation of what's in the scripture. It doesn't quite say that in the Bible. It just said Jesus looked at Matthew and called him. St. Bede is saying that when Jesus looked at St. Matthew, he looked upon him with the eyes of mercy. And it was from there that he called him. Okay. Pope Francis experienced something of this at age 17. He experienced God calling him with the eyes of mercy to be a priest. And then later on, when he was made a bishop, he chose that Latin expression as his episcopal motto. Every bishop has to have some motto, generally in Latin. That's his. It's from St. Bede. And that shows up in his document, Misericordiae Vultus. Okay, the Jubilee Year of Mercy in 2015. That's quoted. All right, so this is getting around, this quote. And it's also in the liturgy, once a year, September 21st, the Feast of St. Matthew. It's not in the Mass, but all priests and religious have to pray the divine office. Okay, it's all in these books. Prayers throughout the day that we have to pray. The office of readings includes two readings, and so in the second one, it's this homily by St. Bede. Okay, and it includes this quote, at least in the Latin, huh? All right. In English, it's not a good translation. But it's there. It's right there in the liturgy. Okay. So that's St. Bede. Okay, number four. This slipped in there. I think the first biography of St. Francis was Thomas of Celano. I have the book. One of our priests. He has the same last name, Father Leo Celano. He got me this book in 1980. All right. And at the very beginning of this book, and it's made up of, like, I think three books. Okay, so very beginning, book one, chapter seven, number 17. I'll read it to you. First, it's a quote from St. Francis. Okay? This is what he wrote in a letter. All right? So this is coming from the words of St. Francis. When I was in sins, okay, this is before he started the Franciscans, when he was living a pretty, in this book, he makes St. Francis out to be quite sinful. Okay, when I was in sins, it seemed extremely bitter to me to look at lepers. And the Lord himself led me among them, among the lepers, and I practiced mercy with them. Okay, this is St. Francis linking mercy with leprosy. All right. Now, Thomas of Tolano is writing. It's not St. Francis speaking. This is what Thomas of Tolano says about St. Francis. So greatly loathsome was the sight of lepers to St. Francis in the days of his vanity. He would look at their houses from a distance of 2 miles, and he would hold his nostrils with his hands. Oh, yes, it smells. But now, when by the grace and the power of God, he was beginning to think of holy and useful things, he met a leper one day and made stronger than himself. Okay, it was like going beyond what he had been previously. He kissed the leper. Okay, back then, it was thought, if you touch a leper, you're going to get leprosy. All right? People were terrified of leprosy. They didn't want to get anywhere close to lepers. Lepers had to carry bells to announce that they were in the area so people could steer clear of them. And here he is, he goes up and kisses a leper. From then on, he began to despise himself, St. Francis, okay? Despising himself more and more until by the mercy of the Redeemer, he came to perfect victory over himself. Not dealing with lepers. Okay? And then it goes on and it talks about being merciful, compassionate to all the poor he would meet. Not just lepers, but people who were sick and dying and hungry and all that. Hadn't showered in years. Just having that mercy, being merciful to them. As he had received mercy from God, out of that experience, he was able to express mercy to others. That's the bottom line in all this. Okay? He had experienced God's mercy, and so he expressed that in working with the poor, including those most despised in society at the time. So that's St. Francis. Number five, St. Peter Nolasco. I don't think we even talked about him last year when we talked about the lives of the saints. Okay, he lived in Spain in the 1200s when the Muslims controlled most of Spain. So most Catholics were under the Muslims. Many of them were slaves. They had Muslim slave masters. Okay. Now, Peter Nolasco had inherited a lot of money. He was rich, and he could have had a comfortable lifestyle. You know what he did with his money? He would go up to Muslim slave masters, and he would give them money in order that their slave or slaves could go free. Peter would pay a ransom. I'll give you so much money if this slave can go free. And so he liberated many Catholic slaves. And then he got other wealthy people to do the same thing. And then he started a religious community of men who spent their life working to free Catholic slaves from Muslims, even taking their place, going up to the Muslim slave master and saying, I'll be the slave in place of this one here, so that he can go free. That was their fourth vow, a vow to do anything and everything to free Catholic slaves from Muslim slavery. Okay? The name of this religious community is called Our Lady of Mercy. Now, in Spanish, one word for mercy, it also means ransom. It's Merced. My brother used to live in Merced in Central California. You know the plural of Merced? It's a car.
Mercedes.
It means mercies. How about that? It's a feminine name. There are Spanish girls that have that name. And even non-Spanish girls that have that name. It's a lovely name, huh? But people are just going to think of car, you know, expensive car. But it means mercies, like, you know, tender mercy. That Hebrew word, racham. Okay? The gut love. Merced is named after a river in Merced called Our Lady of Mercy. Our Lady of Nuestra Señora de la Merced. So the area became known as Merced. It's just like L.A. Originally, it was named, you had this river called Our Lady, Queen of the Angels of the Portiuncula. And then the area became known as that. And it was just shortened and shortened until it just became Los Angeles and then L.A. All right. Now, the nickname for these religious men, Our Lady of Mercy, they were called Mercedarians. And they were approved in 1235 by the Pope. In about, it was almost 700 AD, the Pope instituted the Feast of Our Lady of Mercy on September 24th. We just had that. That was on a Sunday. Okay, so that's things. And then also, after you had the men's community, shortly after that you had the women's community. So St. Faustina was from that women's community, Our Lady of Mercy. Okay, number six, St. Thomas Aquinas. This is the most important one for our class today, number six, because he's the one that gave us the precise definition. It's in the Summa Theologiae, part two, part two. Whoops. Question 30, articles 1 through 4. If you had to go to one source in 2,000 years, one source on what mercy is, I would go right here. This is it. This is where I first went. This is where I thought the definition was until I discovered it goes back to St. Jerome, and then I discovered that it goes back to St. Paul in the Bible. Okay? But here you have the actual definition. Alright, there you go. And this is a part of something bigger. There's something bigger going on here. He's talking about the greatest of all virtues, the virtue of charity. And he spends a ton of pages on charity. And he divides charity, charity into two parts. Okay, we'll learn about that next week. Yeah, we'll save it till next week. Yeah, that's next week. Okay, let's just go. We're running out of time. Number seven, St. Thomas More. He was in prison, I think in London, in a tower, waiting to be executed. And he wrote a letter to his daughter Margaret in prison. This is really good. This is really good. What I'm going to read to you in this, I can't read the whole thing, but it contains all the parts of the definition of mercy. He knew it. He knew what mercy is in all its parts. Okay? Here we go. His letter to Margaret. Although I know well, Margaret, that because of my past wickedness, I deserve to be abandoned by God. Okay, so that would be the misery, his own misery. I cannot but trust. I mean, he's going to use this word over and over, trust. I cannot but trust in his mercy. Dot, 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 dot. I will not mistrust him, Meg. That's short for Margaret. Though I shall feel myself weakening. Okay, he's aware of his weakness. He's aware that he's prone to sin. Left to himself, he will fall, okay? And on the verge of being overcome with fear, I shall remember how St. Peter, at a blast of wind, began to sink. Remember when Peter and some of the apostles were out in the sea and Jesus came walking on the water? And Peter said, Lord, let me walk on the water towards you. And Jesus motioned for him to come, and Peter starts walking on the water, and then he started sinking because of his lack of faith. Okay, so St. Thomas More is seeing the real possibility that he could be like Peter. He too, for lack of faith, could fall. You know, he could just fall into sin interiorly or exteriorly. He knowing his weakness, he knows he can be like St. Peter. But he will, I shall do as he did. Call upon Christ and to pray to him for help. And then I shall trust he shall place his holy hand on me and in the stormy seas hold me up from drowning, huh? Rescue me. Bend down. Reach down and pull me out of the water. How about that for an image of mercy, huh? Being in the stormy sea or being in the quicksand and being delivered, pulled out of it. That's how he sees God's mercy. God reaching down to him, as Jesus did to Peter, and pulling him out of his sin. Okay? Isn't that a good image? Wow. And if he permits me to play Peter further and to fall to the ground and slur, and may God in his tender mercy keep me from this. Still, if this should happen, You know, remember on Holy Thursday at night when Jesus had said that the cock will crow when you deny me the third time? Okay, and Peter swore that he didn't know who Jesus was. I do not know the man, God. You know, just saying bad words. So, St. Thomas More is thinking, you know, in his weakness, he could do that. Hopefully he wouldn't. Still, if this should happen afterward, I trust that in his goodness, he will look on me with pity and make me stand up again. Okay, so I fall down, he'll make me stand up again, get back up. That's what happens when we sin. We go down, we fall, but then we got to get right back up. But in good faith, Meg, I trust that his tender mercy shall keep my poor soul safe and make me commend his mercy. Okay, he knows mercy. Divine mercy. All right. Number 9, St. Maria Faustina Helena Kowalska, who died in 1938, a sister of Our Lady of Mercy, whose feast day is today, October 5th. She received a series of revelations from God. Okay, these are private revelations, but they've been approved by the church, like Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes. And she put these revelations into writing. They became her diary, St. Faustina's diary, dealing with being an apostle of mercy, the Divine Mercy chaplet, the Divine Mercy image, the Divine Mercy feast. In the year 2000, Pope John Paul canonized her and instituted this feast. And that feast is the second Sunday in the Easter season. You have Easter Sunday, the following Sunday, 8 days later, you have Divine Mercy Sunday. Number 10. An encyclical on Divine Mercy by Pope St. John Paul II in 1980. I think it was his second encyclical. It's a whole encyclical on mercy. It's called Rich in Mercy, Divus in Misericordia. It's talking about God. God is rich in mercy. Now, it's hard for me to read Pope John Paul II at times, because he doesn't think like I do. I think scholastically. I think in terms of definitions and distinctions. I think more linearly. He doesn't do that, okay? He assumes, I think, that you know the definition of mercy. Yeah, right. That's a huge assumption. No one hardly knows the definition of mercy. But as I see his encyclical, the more I read it, he's taking that, his encyclical contains the definition, and he elaborates on the definition. He takes like one part at a time, starting with love, and then bending down to some, you know, one in misery and lifting the person out of misery. He talks about all these parts and elaborates, goes into detail. Okay? That's how I see this encyclical. There are some amazing quotes in here. Now, the problem is, in my encyclical on this, it doesn't have a lot of breaks, divisions. So I'm going to just go by footnotes. Between footnote this and this, this is what it says. Okay, so here we go. Footnote, between footnote 28 and footnote 29, he's talking about St. Luke's gospel account. He calls it the gospel of mercy. Okay, so I'm not just making this up. When I had a class just on that, the gospel of mercy, he's saying that. This is in an encyclical. And then footnote, between footnote 76 and 77, he says the Paschal mystery, Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, is the culmination of this revealing and affecting of mercy. This is where, when we best see God's mercy at work, when it's most perfectly manifested. It's between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. In this encyclical, it says that Jesus embodies mercy. He personifies mercy. He is mercy, okay? But in this quote, it's saying this is when mercy was best expressed throughout history, most perfectly expressed, the Paschal mystery. And then something similar, okay? Between footnote 83 and 84, the cross is the most profound condescension, you know, coming down. The most profound condescension of God to man. And then in chapter 9, it calls Mary the Mother of Mercy. And it says, she obtained mercy in a particular and exceptional way as no other person has. You may say, but what misery did she experience? We'll get there. We'll talk about that. All right? We'll put that on hold. She has the deepest knowledge of the mystery of God's mercy. And then in chapter 13, it talks about the church. Okay, this is about Mary. Now the church. The church professes and proclaims. At Mass, we profess the creed, huh? And then we proclaim what we believe to those around us. The church professes and proclaims and practices God's mercy. And then between footnotes 68 and 69, this love is able to reach down to every prodigal son, to every human misery, to every moral misery, even sin. It is reaching down, bending down, scooping down. Okay, so these are some quotes in this encyclical. This is one of the top ones to read. Okay, if you want to get a good source on mercy, definitely this and this. All right, now the Catechism of the Catholic Church, when did that come out? 1994. To me, one of the most striking paragraphs is this one right here. It's talking, all of these are talking about mercy. Just look them up on yourself. I don't have time to go through. But this is the one that strikes me because, you know, traditionally we have the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. And those are based on corporal bodily miseries and spiritual miseries. This adds psychological miseries. Okay, so if there's psychological miseries, there's also psychological works of mercy. The healing of memories, the healing of emotions, the healing of thoughts, the healing of images. Okay? Psychological healing. Psychological works of mercy. That's something new. Alright? That breaks open the traditional understanding of mercy. There's corporal works of mercy, spiritual, but there's also the psychological works of mercy. So this is something new. It's going to take a while to really take that in. All right, Pope Francis in 2015 wrote Misericordiae Vultus, a papal bull on the Jubilee Year of Mercy. This is when he had a year of mercy. 2015, 2016, a little over a year, to really focus on mercy. What are some of the things he said in that? In paragraph 6, he mentions God comes down and lifts up. Why do I make such a big deal about God coming down and lifting up? Because the modern definition doesn't have it. We're going to have a class partly focusing on that. What's up here? Why does the modern definition leave this out? Okay. So right now, I just want to keep pressing the point that this is what God does. God bends down and God lifts up. And this is being said throughout 2,000 years of church history. And you find this in Psalm 113. It also, Psalm 146. I have to look that up. Okay. And then, I don't understand what I did here. Later on, he talks about what the motto is for, what the motto was for this year, 2015. Merciful like the Father. Okay? Jesus said, be merciful as God the Father is merciful. So the Pope shortens it to be merciful like the Father. That's the motto. And it's in this document that he lists the seven corporal works of mercy and the seven spiritual works of mercy. It's hard to find a list. Yeah, it's in the Baltimore Catechism, but that's just a local catechism. That's not something universal. What's something universal? This is. So he clearly list those seven corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Here's one of the most interesting things, and this has to do with this what I was thinking of when John Paul was talking. I think this is huge. Okay? You got to read it yourself. But it looks to me like Pope Francis. Remember, one of the first classes we had was on the mercy seat, the throne of mercy over the Ark of the Covenant? Pope Francis likens the sacrament of penance to the throne of mercy. Ooh, big, 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 big. That's paragraph 18. And then I was talking to Father Sebastian about this. If he remembers correctly, St. Faustina also mentioned this in her diary, that the sacrament of penance is likened to the throne of mercy in the Old Testament. And then number 13. This past Sunday, 5 minutes into the Mass, we've had the Kyrie, the Gloria, and then the priest says, "Let us pray." And then he says the opening prayer. It's called the Collect. Okay? Here is the beginning of the Collect for this past Sunday. And this collect has been in the church for maybe 1,000 years or so. O God, who manifest your almighty power above all by pardoning and showing mercy. O God, who manifest your almighty power above all by pardoning and showing mercy. Or forgiving and showing mercy. God's almighty power is most manifest, is greatest in showing mercy, especially in forgiving sins, okay? Taking away sins. That's when you best see God's power at work. Hopefully, during the semester, we'll be able to see that more and more.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are some sources we can go to get a better understanding of what mercy is. And to see that this definition has been with us, expressed different ways over 2,000 years. It's not just one person, one time period, but throughout 2,000 years. Okay, so the next few weeks, we'll take a look at the definition and its parts. Let's stand and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So next week's class, 9:45.